Was assistant GM of the Phoenix Coyotes for the last seven seasons, and earlier this week was named general manager of the Calgary Flames. Brad Treliving joins us. Brad, congratulations. Welcome back to the show. Do we still have to be nice to you now that you're a Flames GM? How's that work?
Well, thanks a lot, guys. And yeah, you still got to be nice here. We are just nice people from the desert, and we're up here, and we all got to just get along.
Brad, take me through this process. I know a lot of people we like to talk about the people when they get the job. How many interviews did you have to go to become the GM of the Flames?
Well, it was a short window, but you know, it seemed like a you know it happened fairly quickly. I was approached by Don Maloney in Phoenix, right after our season ended. I guess it was about 2 weeks ago now. That he had received a call from Brian and wanted to speak to me about the position and laid out sort of the guidelines in terms of what Don was prepared to accept, and so I came up, spent a couple of days in Calgary with Brian and met with Ken King and the folks here. So that was about two days or so. Went back to Phoenix, had some conversations over the next few days, and then came back up to Calgary a second trip later in the week and spent some time and, you know, got a deal done and announced it Monday. So, yeah, relatively speaking, the process moved quickly. I thought it was really thorough with Brian. Like I said, we spent a lot of time together. You know, over about 4 or 5 days, and after going through it, the more time I spent here, just the more this fit. Just it felt like a perfect fit for many reasons. So you know, I'm excited and real happy to be here.
Brad, you've paid your dues. I mean, you're not an old guy. You're what, 44, 45 years old now, but you know, you've played the game. You've been an administrator. You've created a league. You've been the assistant GM. You've run a minor league affiliate. Now the big chance comes. Is there any part of that crammed past you've got that will serve you the most in this new position? Is it the stint in Phoenix? Is it something further back? What carries you into this position feeling confident?
I think it's a great question. I think a lot, just as you said, in a lot of ways, I got a little bit of a unique background, and sort of it's certainly probably a little bit non-traditional, if you will. You know, just from some of the entrepreneurial stuff at the minor league level, and so on and so forth. I think I'm going to pull from a little bit of everything. Obviously, the you know, to me, from a leadership standpoint, you know, being involved in some what was a startup many, many, many years ago at the minor league level and some of the challenges you go through there, they may not translate exactly, but I think a lot of the skill set that you need in terms of patience and, you know, to me, it's really having a clear and steady focus. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I'm going to pull a lot from my time in Phoenix, and it was a real interesting time. Very valuable, and just it was real special for me because of the people. I mean, it's a great place to be. Lots of stories, and we went through some challenges with ownership that everybody knows about for a number of years. But you know, being there with Don and Tip and all of our staff, our coaches, scouts, the front office, it really, really talented, good people. But you know, being sort of exposed to all the different areas of the business there, I think I'm going to pull from, and really, through some of that time where there was some chaos off the ice and we needed to survive, and there was lots of distraction and there was lots of reasons for us to sort of curl up in the fetal position, we didn't. And to me, that's where I looked at Don and Tip of, you know, you've got to find a way to cut through the noise and be very, very steady, be very, very clear, and be very, very narrow in your focus. And you know, do your research, but you need to be steadfast and focused. And I think those are areas I looked at those gentlemen and was involved with those gentlemen that I'm probably going to lean on most going forward here.
Brad Treliving, GM of the Calgary Flames, joins us. Brad, in Phoenix, you guys never had a real elite offensive player. You built an outstanding team from your back end and your goaltending. Obviously, Shane Doan was an outstanding leader, but you know, you never had that game breaker like a Kane or a Crosby. Those guys are obviously extremely rare. Talk about your philosophy on developing young players. You guys did a good job, especially on the back end in Phoenix. Guys like even Hanzel up front, the same thing. What's your plan going ahead into Calgary? What do you feel needs to be done to ensure that you develop players properly?
Well, to me, it's all about making sure the timeline fits. And, you know, development, I mean, first and foremost, you look around the league. You need to grow and you need to build your team from within. I mean, there's free agency and other areas to acquire players. Ultimately, the base of your team and really long-term success of your team is going to be based upon what you're growing in your own backyard. So, you know, that's really our focus here is we need to, as all 29 other teams believe, you need to draft, you need to develop. When we talk about development, to me, it's all about it's the timeline needs to fit from when the jersey goes on. And some players are quicker than others. Some take time. It doesn't mean because some player takes a little bit longer that, he's not going to play or he's not going to have success. The players such as Sean Monahan and the list of players in Edmonton that have been able to step in to the NHL right out of junior, that's a narrow and that's a short list. And they get a lot of the headlines, but the players that don't play at 18 and 19 is a much longer list. And you have to be very, very patient with those guys. In Phoenix, you know, we were moving forward, and we tried the other system. We lived through some hard times of putting players in and rushing them, and you know, ultimately, long-term success when they're you're better to overcook these people. And I, you know, Brandon Gormley, who has taken, you know, a slow, steady path, if you will. I think he's going to be a terrific player. You know, even for as special as an Oliver Ekman-Larsson was, he went back to Sweden. He spent some time in the minors. A special, special player. So we all want these guys to be really good really early, but this is a very, very hard league. And it is a, you know, this is a man's league. And it's a hard place to come. And at certain ages, physically, mentally, socially. So we're going to push guys and prod guys and do everything we can to get that development time moved along, but we're going to be steady and patient and making sure the timeline fits.
Brad, you mentioned that, you know, you want to overcook players, don't rush, but even you guys rush some guys along. How do you learn from that? How do you develop, I guess, the patience to not rush a player and say, man, he really looks good these first nine games, so we got to keep him, and those type of things? How do you err on the side of caution when you're in an organization that has a lot of young players and maybe doesn't have a lot of older guys to fill the void?
You know, ultimately, guys, the player is going to tell you, right? The player is going to tell you. I really have, you know, in Phoenix, we've gone with the attitude, you know, the player's going back. That's the initial thought. The player is going back. He's going to junior. And they come to camp, and they're going to dictate when and if you even contemplate making a different decision. Now, you bring up a very good point. One thing that I think is important to know here is when certain players get to a certain age or when they've gotten to a certain point in their career, if they've done some things, you know, maybe at the minor league level, I think it's really important that players that have earned it from previous years and where you project them, that there is opportunity for them if they hold up their end of the bargain. And this is something I talked to our former players about in Phoenix is if you follow your end of the bargain in terms of, you know, training and coming at the right shape and doing what you've had to do at the minor league level, our end of the bargain is making sure if you earn your spot on the team, that there is a spot on the team. And you know, sometimes a player has earned that at camp, and, you know, at that particular time there isn't a move, there isn't a roster spot. So now it's the organization's responsibility to make room, whether that's putting a player in the minors, moving a player along, what have you. So, you know, it's a puzzle that you're always trying to fit the right pieces in, but ultimately the player is, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, the suits and the all these, we all pick the teams. Ultimately, I say to the players every year, the players choose who plays and which on which team, whether it be the National League team, whether it be the American League team, or what have you. So I'm excited about some of the prospects and the young people we have here. As I said the other day, I think, you know, I really, really grew a great deal of respect for how this team competed, you know, particularly in the second half of the year. I think there's a lot of good things. But make no mistake, we're picking fourth in a 30-team league come June. So we also have to be real realistic where we are. We have work to do here. We have a lot of work to do.
Brad, I remember back in 2000 when Kevin Lowe took over from Glenn Sather as GM here, and we went down to that draft in Calgary. You know, there's always a transition period. Here we are essentially, you know, May 1st now. You've got some time. I know you're not going to turn things upside down and reinvent the wheel down there, but you've got to move pretty quickly here. How much do you rely and listen now to Brian and the people in the organization, and how do you transition to that knowing that you're now the lead dog, you're the GM, you've got to call some of the shots, not as an assistant, but as the main guy? It's going to be an interesting time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's an exciting time, but I think, you know, it's been a whirlwind here the last couple of days, you know, just getting through sort of all the initial announcement stuff. And today I actually feel like I'm doing what I'm comfortable, and that's the work. And so to me, it's you're digging. You know, now I'm talking with our people here, just getting an understanding of our staff, their beliefs. You know, I've spoken to a couple of the players. To me, it's all about digging for information. I had a good long chat with Bob Hartley. I want to get together with him. So, you know, I'm trying to really pull and find out, you know, ask the whys and why nots right now. And, you know, I've got a real opinion on a lot of things from the outside in this organization relative to the players and what I've seen. Mm-hmm. I think you need to get in and really get behind the curtain before you really have an understanding what's going on. You know, I always talk about it as a family. You can live next door to somebody all day long and you pull in the driveway and say hi to each other for 10 years and good morning and good night. You don't really know them until you sit down for dinner and you're sleeping over and you're seeing how they live. And that's sort of what I'm doing here right now. And, you know, I'm going to form my opinions. I think the greatest asset for me and the single biggest reason why I'm in this position right now is Brian Burke. And, you know, to me, I think it's the greatest tool I'm going to have. I think it's going to be the greatest asset any person coming in here is going to have. The experience, the success, you know, he's been through and seen it all. So when you come in and a guy like me, you're full of a lot of energy and you're full of a lot of ideas and you're ready to change the world. Well, you got to also go one step at a time here. And to be able to go next door here and, you know, get his thoughts on things, really bend his ear, get advice, you know, why this, why not that? I think it's a great resource. So we are, you know, we're at work here. And our first big event, we got a lot of things going on. There's a lot to do. The big event for us is coming up at the end of June in Philadelphia, and we're going to be prepared. We're going to be prepared for that. And, you know, but there's a lot of lifting to do before we get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Brad, I've got to ask you, and you've already touched on it. You come in as general manager. Now, Brian Burke, love him or hate him, and I happen to love him. That's not always a popular spot, but he's got a personality, a big personality, and people are going to go, well, is Brad Treliving really going to be calling the shots here? You're dealing with a powerful personality. You happen to know another powerful personality pretty well in your father. But it is an interesting dynamic. Have you had that discussion where it's Brad, you're the boss, let me be a sounding board, so on and so forth? How have the lines of communication been?
It's been exactly that. And I would have been, like, to me, having Brian here is such an asset. This is, and I've said, I think everybody's got different personalities. We, you know, everybody knows Brian, and, you know, I've followed his career. We've been friends for a while. I've never worked for him. But I always come back to this, you know, as long as you feel you trust, there's got to be a strong trust there. The person has had success. They've got experience. Not often do, if you can come up with right solutions. I'm not about to sit here and say I have all the answers. And regardless, at the end of the day, this is a collaborative effort, and every team is. That's why you have staffs. Like, this isn't about me by any means. It's how do we make best decisions? How do we make good decisions? How do we make smart decisions? And to pull in as many people as you can, ultimately there's going to be different opinions, and somebody's got to make the decision to turn left or right. And I'm very comfortable with the structure that's here. And even more so, it's that much more beneficial having Brian here. And I think it's just, I don't know if I could have a better asset at my disposal.
Lastly, Brad, what's your philosophy on the draft? Some GMs feel like, okay, you know what, I have the final say. Others, Lou Lamoriello said David Conte was his head scout, and he made the decisions, and he trusted him, he empowered him, and he let him make those decisions when they talk, but ultimately he'd confer to him because he felt like he saw the players more. You come in now to the organization. The draft, of course, is coming up, and the Flames have the fourth overall pick. I know you believe in the best player available philosophy, which makes sense, but do you make that say, or do you believe in your head scout that they're the ones who ultimately have the final say?
I really believe that you have a staff for a reason. They're out in the field. The way I've done it here in my previous position is I was out seeing the top 40. And you in that time you see different players where they're slotted in the draft, but I wanted to know intimately the top 40 in our list, so that I had an opinion. But I'm going to ask the questions of why, and, you know, this player versus that player, and what strengths, what weaknesses, where do we see him going? But ultimately, you have a staff for a reason, and this staff is going to be empowered to, and we're going to demand that they have an opinion, and they bring that forward, and ultimately they make those decisions.
Brad, congratulations on the new job. One of only 30 in the NHL. Enjoy it, and I know we'll talk to you often. We'll see you at the draft.
Thanks, guys.